Hello and welcome to another new episode of the 3-Bid League podcast. As always, I am Tyler, and please ignore the background noise of the Capital One Arena. With me today is a man who covers far more college basketball teams than anybody can count, Nick Lorenzen of Mid-Major Madness. Thanks for coming on the show, Nick.
How are you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. Nothing like these couple days of the A-10 tournament, the best tournament around. We just saw an amazing game between SLU and the Bonnies. Let's hope we get two more tonight.
Yep, so we're going to focus on the afternoon session of the quarterfinals here. So, Nick, we'll start things off. Outside of the game, you tweeted out a video from your great vantage point. At the end of the game, a St. Bonaventure cheerleader started yelling at the St. Louis players. Do we have any idea what actually happened there?
Yeah, so I guess the whole game, you know, SLU's down there taking free throws or whatever, but I guess Jordan Nesbitt was chirping at him. At the end of the game, he must have come over, said something. Cheerleading coach, she came out. She stuck up for her girls. Give her a lot of respect for that. I mean, they're going to defend the hell out of each other. There's probably going to be a lot of talks in St. and Olean or Allegheny or wherever the hell it is just about that whole thing. But, I mean, you got to give that lady respect. She came out. She stood up for her cheerleaders after getting chirped all game. She yelled at him. Now, I don't know if you're like, if it makes sense for her to go out there and flip him off and curse him out, but she stood up for her girls. She was very fired up, and now it's blown up on Twitter. So I hope for the best for all those girls. That was not nice of Jordan Nesbitt. Just don't do that, Jordan. Don't do that.
All right, so on to the actual game. I think the headline story is going to be Kyle Lofton missing the two foul shots at the end. One would have tied it. Two would have gotten them the win because SLU was basically out of time to get up a prayer if they were losing. I think the most important moment of this game came right before it, where St. Bonaventure fails to get the ball back twice. They gave up a rebound out of bounds. They lost the jump ball. And it ends with Gibson Jimerson catching a pass off an inbounds, drilling a little mid-range jumper. He puts up the quietest 20 points I've ever seen, but he plays all 40 minutes of the game. He's 6-for-9 from deep. He was kind of the only guy that gave SLU's offense anything outside the paint today.
I mean, yeah, they gave him 3 chances there. That was ridiculous. But every chance Gibson Jimerson seemed to have, he just seemed to sink a 3. What, he went 6-for-9 from 3 today. He had 20 points. The only shot, he only made one shot outside of 3-point land. He was 1-for-5 from there. But, I mean, it just seemed like it was a struggle for the Bonnies down low today. And it showed there at the end. They got out-rebounded by 9 on the defensive end. They were out-rebounded by 8. And they had 18 defensive rebounds to SLU's 14 offensive rebounds. You never want to see it be that close, especially if you're going to win a game. That's probably what ended up changing the end of this game. You got to make those rebounds. And now a season that was supposed to be one of the greatest ever for such a historic university and program in St. Bonaventure is going to result in an NIT bid more than likely.
Yeah, and Carter Shapley and I extensively talked yesterday about the key to the game was going to be the battle of the centers. St. Louis dominated that battle in the first half. And then the second half, Ashuna, he really started to get it going on defense again. He was swatting shots. We saw SLU players starting to cower away from the rim again. But all in all, I think SLU won that battle inside. And it was that rebounding edge in the first half that really set the tone.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably, there's not much time left, maybe 6 minutes when Shun hit his first shot. So they just owned him down there. I mean, the Bonnie's fans behind me were chirping him the whole time. Shun, you got to wake up. And then he finally woke up. He blocked a couple shots. He made 2 layups. But in the end, it wasn't enough. I mean, Francis Okoro just dominated him down low. He had 12 rebounds on the day. And you gotta own that battle, especially since SLU only has 1 big man. I mean, you gotta go down there, him and Attaway. There's no reason why you should have 12 rebounds when you have 2 big men down there who are 2 of the best in the league. And he just owned you on that part of the game.
Yeah, and Oshuna, he hit a foul shot earlier in the game, but he only took two field goal attempts. They were back-to-back possessions between 2 minutes and 1:30 to go. He got 5 points off of those two attempts, but that was his only offensive impact. So we'll take it out to the perimeter now. And really, outside of Jimmerson, none of the guards in this game were particularly great. Yuri Collins was solid. He did what needed to be done. 11 points, 7 rebounds, a whopping 9 assists. But late in the game, when St. Louis's offense struggled, he was forcing a lot of shots. That was really the only thing that they could get going. So I guess basically to kind of close out St. Bonaventure's season, was there anything that was really going well for them on the perimeter in this game, or was it kind of all a disaster?
Yeah, I mean, they went 5 for 20 from 3. I believe, if I'm not getting my games mixed up, they were 0 for 10 from 3 at a time. And I mean, you just can't do that. And obviously, St. Louis, they beat them on their end once again with the guards. Yuri Collins just kept finding dime after dime, and another as soon as he walked by. I mean, they kept finding guys down low, and you got to make those timely passes, and you got to hit those shots. And if you start 0 for 10 from 3, you're not going to win a game. It doesn't matter, especially in a conference tournament setting, but it doesn't matter regardless. You should make those.
So they officially went 2 for 10 in the first half from 3 and then went 3 for 10 in the second half. So they just never got it going at any point. It really felt like for a while Jalen Attaway on ISOs was the only thing that worked on that offense. And we've been in that place so many times this season. That's what buried them. The offense was just not as good when they needed it to be, especially on days like today where they amped up the D. They just didn't have it on both sides. I think it's time to just close this out. We've talked about the Bonnies so much. The season is basically over unless they make a deep NIT run. Maybe we'll talk about them again, but it was such a bummer of a season for the 5 seniors. They all have their COVID year coming back, and those guys looked absolutely devastated walking off that court today. So I would not be surprised if at least a few of them come back. I'm not sure we'll have a Richmond-type situation where they all return, but depending on what happens in the NIT, I would be stunned if we don't see 2 or 3 of them at least.
I mean, none of them made a clear statement after the game. Coach Schmidt said they haven't even talked about it yet, probably because they assumed that they were going to make a little run. But they haven't even talked about coming back yet, so that's still up for grabs. And, I mean, it just sucks for the Bonnies. I mean, I don't think they're – I was very high on them preseason. There can't really be many people higher than what I had. I wrote a whole article saying that they were going to make the Final Four, and they didn't do that.
I had them as the top 4 seed.
Yeah, I mean, they went down there. You gotta think how much pressure these guys had put on them. They were a top 25 team heading into the season. They were touted as one of the best teams in a historic program's history. They have avid fans who will get on them for everything. And then they go out and they play 40 minutes a game. And it's just got to be really hard on those guys. All the work they put in, all the time they play, and they just let down all these expectations. All these Bonnies fans are here tonight. There had to be maybe like 500 of them at least. I mean, the whole student section was full. Almost a whole half of Capital One Arena lower section was full of Bonnies fans. That's a tough way to end such a disappointing season for Mark Schmidt and company.
Yeah, it is a huge bummer, but we'll close out this game. I want to go back to the clear MVP of this game, because it was Okoro at halftime, but he kind of faded out after the little fight, which, God, is almost gone from the memory after the crazy way that this ended. But Gibson Jimmerson won them this game, and it was an old-school Jimmerson game. He was basically just trying to get free off of cuts. He was looking for shots. He got open maybe 8 times the entire game, and I think they found him every single time. Like I said earlier, 6 for 9 from 3. The rest of the team was 0-5 combined. He won them this game, and he really never went inside the paint, which was his little wrinkle this season. So as the Dayton Flyers take the court to get ready for their game to a nice little cheer. But where do you see Jimerson? What do you see Jimerson doing the rest of the season? Now, is this just the way he was reacting to the Bonaventure defense?
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be tough with Davidson's length. Definitely be hard to guard him. But I mean, he was just straining everything today. If he's gonna have that mentality the rest of the tournament, then he's gonna win Most Outstanding Player. He's gonna send Slew to another tournament. But it's gonna be hard to follow up what he did today. Just every single time he got an open shot, it seemed like a drain.
All right, so the early game, Davidson blows out Fordham. Just any takeaways for that from you? For me, it was just about all the guards played pretty well. They got a good game from Menenga. They really never had to force anything. And without Quisenberry, Fordham just couldn't generate enough threes to keep the pace.
Yeah, I mean, it was just too easy. I really came in today, and Fordham showed it early. Fordham, the first couple minutes, really fought with Davidson, but it was just too short. But I wanted Kyle Neptune's done an outstanding job there. That program has a really bright future, which if you would have told me any time before this past month or two that Fordham has a bright future, I don't care all the talking heads, you know, going out there hyping up Kyle Neptune just because he was at Villanova, but he's come out there and he's completely turned around a program that's been in the cellar forever in the A-10. And it's just super impressive. Chuba Owens and Josh Navarro, they were there through the ups and downs. They played outstanding basketball. Chuba had an amazing tournament. But the way those two left the program and the way that Neptune is building it right now, they're in really good hands. And I think that Fordham will once again not be a pillow fight team next year. That's all I'm saying. I don't know who they're going to bring in or what's going to be left, but I think they're better than a pillow fight team. Don't pick them in the bottom four.
All right. And I mean, look, there's nothing really special to talk about for Davidson in this win. It was really just kind of a ho-hum, strong victory. Everybody did their job. The team was 6 of 16 from 3. They had 16 team assists. They locked down on defense. They held their own on the three-point line. And they got that win in about the least sexy possible way.
Yeah, I mean, they just ran them out of the gym. The way that Davidson's been doing it a good bit this year. But, I mean, Bob McKillop's got a really good team. It's not going to be as good as Curry's teams, but he's built around that program where they're good enough to be an 8 or a 9 seed again.
Yeah, they're probably headed there regardless of what happens tomorrow. But let's dive into that Davidson-St. Louis semifinal game. They faced a few weeks ago. Foster Lawyer was out. St. Louis had one of their worst shooting games of the year, and Davidson got the win despite not having their point guard. So what do you see as the key to this game?
It's going to be a lot of fun with the size. You're going to have to see what happens with the size there. Francis Okoro against those bigs of Davidson. It feels like everyone on Davidson really has size, but I mean, when Lee against Okoro is going to be the matchup to watch. That's going to be a lot of fun. Lee, he had like 12 points today. He had a pretty decent game, but Okoro just had an insane first half. So it's gonna go down to who has the big game between those two there. Two well-coached teams, two teams who are fighting. I don't know if you can say Davidson's really fighting for their NCAA hopes.
They're not, I don't think.
Yeah, but then you got St. Louis who's trying to find their way in. No one wants to go to the NIT, but you got to think maybe, you know, St. Louis, they could have an advantage here with the guard play, with the just speed they have. And if they end up winning this game, does this put them on the bubble, right on the edge of the bubble, back to where they were a couple weeks ago before that loss against VCU?
I think it would have to be a big surprise for them to make it, even if they win this game. But it would bump their chances up from 0% to 1%. So
who knows with the committee? Who knows?
So for me, I think the big matchup, and I said this for today's game, it's Collins against another superstar point guard and Foster Lawyer. We did not get to see those two battle it out last time. So I'm very fascinated to see the deliberate style of Foster Lawyer against Yuri Collins' more hectic pace. Who can set the tone in this game? Who can set the speed?
First of all, I want to mention, there's absolutely no way that Foster Lawyer is 6 foot tall. I mean, watching
I've heard
there.
That from multiple people today. I stood next to Foster Lawyer today. He is slightly shorter than me, and I'm not 6 feet tall, so.
Yeah, I'm 6 foot three, and if I would have went out to half court with him, I think I would have been about a foot taller. But, yeah, that should be a fun one. I mean, Foster Lawyer, he's played outstanding this whole season coming over from Michigan State, and he's really been the difference on this Davidson team. So it's going to be interesting to see on the defensive end how he stops Yuri Collins from making those passes and just if he can get his shots back up. But I feel like he wasn't that impactful on the offense today for Davidson. But if he can get something going there tomorrow, that's going to be the key difference. And if he stops down Yuri Collins, it may result in a Davidson trip to the finals.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not surprised that Lord didn't do a ton. He's the big moment guy for Davidson. He amps up his game, as I've said all season, when things are tight. And things just kind of never got tight today. Grant Huffman played extremely well off the bench, so yeah. There was a little bit more of a minute split than they would typically have. They had the lead. Huffman was playing well. McKillop was happy to let the younger point guard take more of the burden. But on the wings, the shooting battle. Who's going to be the big-time shooter today in the way Gibson-Jimerson was? Is it Jimerson again? Could it be Jordan Nesbitt, or is it Lee or Mike Jones?
I mean, if you would have saw, I came out, post-game always goes late, so you're walking through the tunnel, and there are so many people, there were many people waiting there to see Hyunjin Lee. If he ends up turning it up, hitting his three-pointers, just hitting his shots in general, and has an outstanding game, he'll be the key difference in general going out for the future of this program or the future of the rest of the year. But I think tomorrow he could definitely be a key difference maker, especially if a lot of the attention goes to some of the other big men, because, you know, all they have is Francis Okoro with size, so they can only really guard one of their big men.
Yeah, and well, they can go double center with Martin Linson at some point.
Yeah, true, Valpo.
So they have a little bit of possibilities there, but since we have an unbiased observer here, give us your prediction. How does this game go down?
For which game? The Staten game?
For Davidson and St. Louis.
I honestly think the way that St. Louis has been playing basketball, they have a little extra. They played another day. Davidson really didn't have a battle today. They just rolled. I think that St. Louis, because they've been through the tests the last 2 days, and they've just been playing outstanding basketball, won an absolute battle today. I think they end up pulling out the victory. It's going to be a scrap. It's going to be within 6 points, I'd say. I wouldn't put a point total on it, like a total, but I think it's going to be within 6 points.
Yeah, we'll see. Bob McKillop's had Travis Ford's number over the years. Earlier this season was no different. I think Davidson's going to try to clog the paint. St. Louis is going to need another big game from Jimerson tomorrow, but I think he is very capable of delivering.
Yes, sir.
So we'll close this out here. We're going to leave the A-10 here for 2 minutes. You're over at Mid-Major Madness.
Sir.
I need two teams from you. Number one, who is this year's just super disrespected 12 seed? A team that is just simply better than that, but plays in a small conference that everyone should be afraid of.
South Dakota State. I mean, they have so many guys who can just go out. I mean, honestly, all the 12 seeds. If off the top of my head, there's three teams that'll probably be a 12 seed right now. That's Chattanooga. They have, bringing it back to A-10 a little bit, they have Josh Yenny, who's been a really good six man for him. Malachi Smith is one of the best guards in the nation. Then you have Vermont, who, being a UMBC guy, I am not too sure if they're going to win tomorrow. But Vermont's just they just ran through that league. They weren't even picked first. This is the first time in, I want to say since like 2015 or 16 that they weren't picked first in the league. But Ryan Davis is just an outstanding big man. And they're probably the third out of the three teams who I would say that are the least scary. But South Dakota State has so many guys. They battled in the non-conference. They almost beat Alabama. They got a good team over there in Brookings.
All right, and then the last one. Who's the 14 or 15 seed? Is there one that, you know, it's still super unlikely, but if they play a perfect game, they could maybe have like a Mercer against Duke type moment where maybe we don't think there's anything super special about that team, but they have the ability to play great.
I mean, I'm just going to choose the easy answer here off the top of my head. I saw Delaware play this whole past week. They have a lot of big men. Andrew Carr just came out of nowhere. Jair Davis, he's a freshman transfer from Providence. He won freshman of the year during the season. He didn't start a single game. He just played outstanding the final month of February. And then he came in. He started all three games in the CAA tournament. He won most outstanding player. They also have Jameer Nelson Jr., another yep. A-10 connection there.
Bring him back.
Yeah. I mean, Delaware, I said it to my Delaware buddy. I think this is just a complete shot in the dark. I'll be in Pittsburgh next week for the NCAA tournament. But I want to get this on record. I got it on text, but I want to get it on podcast. Delaware, Villanova, 3-14 matchup, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's going to happen. Book it.
That would be a fun game. Nick, you cover basically the whole scope of college basketball. You're a mid-major guy. You're also a South Carolina student, so plenty in the SEC. Where can everybody find your good work?
Follow me over on Twitter at nlorensensports, NLORENSEN sports, and at mid_madness.
All right, Nick, thanks for joining me through all this noise.
Thank you for having me on.
And thank you to everybody for listening to this through the background. We got more episodes coming today, tomorrow, the rest of the weekend.